There's one single thing that matters, and it's the Hawks are 5-1. Going into the biggest week of the season, essentially, potentially, the Big Ten West Championship. The Badgers are coming up. We are going to recap the game against Purdue. Talk about Deacon's first full start. More Cooper DeJean. Some special teams plays. Sit back, relax, let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back to Watch the Block on the podcast, and our boy G-Bone just took another shot directly in the chest along with the boy Josie, so I'm really feeling for him. Wellness check on the both of them. Hope the boys are doing all right.
Do we have a response? Tough out there sometimes. Josie looked good.
What do you take harder, a Hawkeyes loss or a Broncos loss, G-Bone?
Well, when it looks like that, the Broncos loss doesn't feel great. But I think like equal score, equal performance, and Iowa loss hurts more than the Broncos. Not that I don't have value and weight in either of them, but I'd probably put more weight in Iowa then.
That surprises me because Denver's your hometown team.
Yes, but like the environment I was raised in. Like, my dad's not necessarily a Broncos fan. Like, my family's not really Broncos fans.
College always feels like it has a little bit more substance to it, too, I think.
I don't know. I mean, there's people who – it's kind of regional. It's more regional, honestly.
Right. You're right.
Like,
you're
people – like in the Northeast, like, people, like, are much more about it to the NFL than they are.
The Packers season tickets are sold out for, like, 314 years, dude.
Yeah, you're right. I would say regional is a good call on that. I would say anybody who's listening to this podcast, I mean, clearly they're listening to an Iowa podcast, but they probably feel like college is more substance in the NFL. But you're right. You go to some of those bigger cities, somebody who's never been outside of like a big city with a big NFL team, they probably feel like the NFL team is more important than college.
Yeah, like probably all of New England is probably big time Patriots fans, and you know, you might have some Boston College fans here and there and stuff like that.
Don't disrespect UMass.
So you got some proud UConn Huskies out there.
But yeah, but then versus like the Deep South, like Arkansas, Alabama's, they're probably all about college. Their college team and mild Saints fans. They're probably still good Saints fans, but they probably care much more about their college team.
I was just gonna say the LSU, they probably really hurt when LSU loses, and then if the Saints lose, it's like okay.
I mean, LSU, I mean, there's probably still people that live in New Orleans, so they're probably big fans of both. But, you know, like Alabama doesn't have a college or a professional team, so they're probably Saints fans, and they probably care more about Alabama or Auburn.
See, I don't know, though. I could see Alabama fans being big fans of Florida football because they're just dirtbags all in the same.
Like Florida as in, like, Tampa Bay?
Yeah, just, I mean, Floridians – huge dirtbags. Alabama football fans, huge dirtbags.
Hick dirtbags?
Yeah.
They do wear polos to games, though.
Like, I have an uncle
who
lives down there, and he would 100% admit that he's a dirtbag. He's just a Florida dirtbag. Successful one. Great one. Love the guy to death.
Do you think that they're more dirtbag in down there? Or have you guys seen like true Missouri dirtbags?
No. Florida is the dirtbag capital of the United States.
Man, I'm telling you, man, some of these people from Missouri are different.
Like, actually, if you count like the Appalachians, well, you might just go ahead and put them as number one, undisputed, untouchable, Mayweather retired 50-0, because those are some hillbilly dirtbags.
Like when we go down to the lake of the Ozarks, some of the people that you'll see at a gas station, man, it's unbelievable.
So are we gonna do a top five dirtbag region of
top five top five dirtbags state edition?
Number five, South Iowa.
South Iowa.
South of Muscatine.
80s the cut line. I don't know. It does feel like this is becoming the, to swing it back around, this is the wellness check on Gary podcast. Every Monday podcast is just a wellness check podcast.
It's just a, this is a Broncos reaction podcast for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah. At this point, as a Broncos fan, is do you phone it in? Is it just we're looking at the draft next spring and we're trying
Well, once we gave up that lead to the Commanders, it was evident that this team's not going to be like this team's not going to the AFC Championship game, right?
Probably not.
Yeah, like I
once this team's going to the playoffs.
Yeah, once that
on the wild card.
Once we had that game with the Commanders, it was like, oh no, this is not good. So I mean, geez, like you want to phone in, but it's like I don't even know what to like fix at this point. Like I don't even it feel like we fixed the things that needed to be fixed, and then it's got worse somehow.
I would get
like I don't even know
out of there.
Yeah, no, that's the weird thing with Russ right now is like statistically he's performing really well. So it's like I don't think Russ's play necessarily is the issue. I think that everyone disliking Russell Wilson is the issue.
How about the clip from Marshawn over the weekend? About how Marshawn doesn't even have his number.
He had to like call his agent to talk to him after the Super Bowl.
Called him just a quarterback to me. Like he was just a quarterback when I was there. Like,
well, dude, when you isolate yourself in the way that he's isolated himself, I wouldn't want to be friends with that guy. I wouldn't want to talk to that guy. Team three sucked my dick.
He doesn't seem very relatable, like as a guy in the locker room, you know?
No.
Like, what do you say? What do you say to Russ to like be one of the guys? I don't know. I'm not sure. So
you ask him if he wants to film a Subway commercial.
He is on those, isn't he?
Well, yeah. The
Subway revamped their lineup, by the way. Second Subway mention of the last two or three podcasts because Drake brought it up a couple episodes ago, which I swing it back around. Oh, Kevin, you weren't on that one?
I don't think so. Are we Subway fans or are we Subway haters?
Drake and I are Subway fans.
I walked into Walmart the other day and the hot bread. It was in the morning. I couldn't get over the smell of the hot bread.
Of these sandwich chains, Subway's at the bottom.
They're super low. They're super low. And shout out Capriati's. There's one down here in Mesa, Arizona. And you go get you either a Philly cheesesteak or a New York chopped cheese, and it will blow your tits off.
So you agree they're the bottom of the barrel, but you still love going to Subway?
I love the smell inside of Walmart. When I walk through the doors at 8 o'clock in the morning and the hot bread hits me in the face, I absolutely loved it.
I endorse the statement you just put out.
You want like a Subway bread Yankee Candle?
Yeah.
Oh God, yes. If Bath and Body Works could sell a Subway Italian bread candle, I'd buy 10 of them bitches.
But it's like I want the Jimmy John's bread candle too, though. Like it.
I take Subway.
But honestly, to act like the smells at Jimmy John's aren't quality as well.
They are. They're quality. Any sandwich shop is quality.
Like you're allowed to buy more than one candle.
I think Kevin was going, maybe we're going to have to do top five sandwich places. I think
it's honestly, before you go anywhere, it's pretty funny how Jimmy John's and Subway, very similar places, aside from Subway having a little more like fancy ingredients, I guess. But they smell totally different.
And a former spokesperson who is a pedophile. That's a big difference.
That is a big difference. Yeah.
I think Jimmy John's blows Subway out of the water, but that's just me.
I, Kevin, am a man of cheap taste.
I love Jimmy John's too, dude. Damn.
I'm a man of cheap taste. So you take me to a fast food burger, I'm going to really enjoy that burger. You take me to an IHOP versus a... versus maybe a nice fancy breakfast place that's going to serve you all these like fancy dancy waffles or pancakes. Give me the IHOP flapjacks, baby. But I'm going to eat, you know.
We're talking Jimmy John's versus Subway here. Well, not fucking.
No, and I know you.
Longhorn Steakhouse.
No, I know where you were going with it, Kevin. I know where you were going with it, though, is like, you know, Subway, Jimmy John's, those are both kind of bottom of the barrel if you're going to start going upwards of like, you know, like a Red Pepper, a Jersey Mike's.
R.I.P. to Red Pepper.
Fucking worst thing to ever happen to Iowa City is that that place is gone. Sad you didn't get to taste that place, Grant.
Actually, second worst thing. Worst thing that ever happened to Iowa City is Brian Ferentz, remember?
Yes. Tried to call a play for a tackle to catch a pass though this weekend. Got batted down, but he did call the play. I got real excited.
That's elite.
So what was the plan there? Like, it was hard to see. They didn't show a replay of it in the stadium. Was it going to be a backwards pass to a lineman?
Yeah, it was a lineman screen. He had blockers set up, dude. He had a shield, and he was back there like the running back.
He was walking in.
That's fucking wild. I gotta watch the game again on TV. But that would have been an absolute electric play if it had worked.
Yeah, he would have walked in, and he was pretty disappointed. I think everybody was disappointed. And as far as Brian's play call, I mean, I just don't have any other opinions about it at this point. Like, I don't think I have anything else to say about it. People are going to have their opinions. I do think it's funny that, like, when things don't work, that's just like the
go-to.
That's just the go-to now. It's like, oh, well, it's Brian. Fire Brian.
So I didn't go back and watch the Caleb Johnson touchdown run.
Oh, buddy.
It was an inside zone, correct?
No.
They didn't pull anybody. And he didn't run track for outside zone.
Oh, you know what? It was an inside zone with the tight
end. With a tight end coming back, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so while I was a player, so this is going to make fans real happy. This is going to go towards the Fire Brian directly, gas on the fire. Mm. While I was a player, when Brian would teach the inside zone in the running back room, he would say, like, this is your track, but always be ready to cut. Like, always run the inside zone with the tempo that you can make a cut anywhere. He's like, because if you take a handoff on the inside zone and just run straight ahead and don't get touched all the way to the end zone, I'll retire. And that's literally exactly what happened, dude. He took his track and did not take a lateral step until he crossed the goal line.
I remember seeing of it, it was a really good combo block of the left guard and left tackle up to the linebacker. And I think the safety took a bad angle and it was just off to the races.
Off to the races, dude.
And isn't it weird when the guys execute I don't want to be that guy. But they showed the end zone view of this motherfucker and that opened up like the Red Sea. Okay. I mean, the hole was so big. I think I could have scored. I'm not joking.
Nah, you're getting hawked, but you probably get 12 to 15 yards.
Oh no, dude, I think
you might get 35.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Kev, if you're only giving me 15 yards on that, they didn't even know where the ball was.
Well, maybe the safety wouldn't have taken such a bad angle on your slow little ass.
Well, if he saw me in the backfield, then they would have put 12 in the box. But this hole was huge. I had to watch this game. So I had a hashtag ban fall weddings. I had a fall wedding this Saturday. Buddy from back home. 4 o'clock start, an hour away. So we left basically right after the game kicked. So I'm downloading the Peacock app in the car. Lauren's driving. We're filling up with gas. I'm like making my account. Peacock. And like I'm watching on my iPhone 14 on the way to Pella, Iowa for this wedding. And I saw this play happen. Caleb rips one. And I go, oh my God, it's amazing what happens when we block people. That was my only reaction. And off to the races. And God, when he opens it up, is he smooth or what?
Yeah, so he's like one of those guys where he is running very fast, but it doesn't look like he's like
– it's weird.
He does a whole lot of effort into it. So smooth.
He does not look fast, but he eats up ground, dude.
If you watch me and him run, we're exact opposites. If you watch me and him run, you would think that I was trying a lot harder than he – well, and I would be trying a lot harder than he is. And I'd be going half his speed. He is fun to watch run. And, I mean, there was no shot. He was gone. 7-0 Hawks. Nice to get that one. For a lot of reasons. Almost felt like we almost had a couple more. LeSean almost broke one that we were real close on a LeSean run.
You talking about the one the turf toss got him?
Maybe. Yeah, feels right.
He would have gotten tackled about 5 yards later anyway. But no, overall, they had a solid day running the ball.
Yeah, what did we end with?
We ran with 181 yards rushing. So even after
Caleb that, had 100 and some on his own.
Yeah. Yeah, even if you take out that one huge play, that they had over 100 yards rushing. So that's great, right? We'll take that every game.
For sure.
The other phase of offense was about as bad as you could imagine. I've seen maybe with a better passing stat line, but
dude, it was
so
it was abysmal.
Let's quickly do. Grant, do you want to lead our betting recap here for the weekend before we get into
in the middle of our
let's just
recap.
Let's just do the Betfred betting recap. Okay. Let's just all take a breath real quick before we evaluate the passing game here, because I just want to make sure that we're all settled in. Okay. So can you just take us through? I don't think Drake had any bets, so just give us.
He had no picks.
Okay,
that's what I wrote down. I had a good weekend. I went 2-1. We had UCLA got the upset over Washington State. Took a little bit to get going. They had that pick six at the end of the half that had me pretty bummed out. I was checking this like frantically every time at the Iowa game while it stopped. And it, as people know, like the reception at the Iowa game is not amazing. Even if you have the Wi-Fi password, it's still spotty sometimes. So
man, it works great in the locker room. Let me tell you what,
it's great in the press box.
Well, I'm sure, but they don't. They probably have it set out so that, like, the us over in the student section, on purpose, it's like a dead zone. But regardless, UCLA did a good job, and then I had Louisville plus 6.5. They obviously got the win over Notre Dame.
Big win.
Jeff Brohm, big win for the. I'm claiming that as a Big Ten win as well because Jeff Brohm did it. So I'm claiming that.
That's a Big Ten West dub.
That's two Big Ten victories with UCLA and Jeff Brohm. So I'm claiming both of those. But yeah, Louisville played a fun game, but did a good job. Huge second half from them, and then Baylor might be the worst team of all time. That was just dead instantly. So this one, there was a lot of games on, so I flipped to this one, and the first play I saw was they were down 11, and they went for it on fourth down inside their own 30, and they did like a halfback toss for -4 yards, and then I just flipped the game off and never turned back into it. So because I was like, it's over. Like if you're doing that, like this is never going to even come close, and they didn't get close. So they were the ultimate losers of the butt game, the butt bowl between Baylor and Texas Tech, and 2-1 on the week. So
the ultimate losers were Miami.
We will get there in a second.
Okay.
UCLA up to 18th in the Grant intern G-Bone top 25. The Louisville Cardinal up to 12.
Yes,
they're undefeated, right?
They deserve it.
They are 6-0, I believe.
They deserve it right now. Do I think they're going to finish there? No, but
are you when you're doing your rankings, I know there's kind of two different philosophies. Are you ranking the current resume or who you actually truly believe the best 25 teams are in that order?
No, it is like who deserves it right now.
Okay.
That's how I think
you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
So like, if I was doing like who's actually the best, it would be a different list.
So like 2021, the Hawks are 6-0 with like two ranked wins on their resume. They probably had the second best resume in the country at that time.
Yeah.
But no one in the country believed they were the second best team in the country. Right.
Right. Yeah. The way I approach it is just like here's who like deserves to be here at this time specifically, and it's just reevaluated every week.
I respect that.
And LSU made the cut this week.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of waffling around. I had for like an hour. I had James Madison as my 25, and then I was flipping in between because I was like, would LSU beat James Madison? Probably, but like, do they deserve it? I don't know. So I don't know when LSU inevitably, like, if you watch, I was like the worst win of all time. Like, I know they won by 10, but I was like, this is not like that wasn't impressive. Like, it wasn't very good. So, like, and they're probably going to inevitably lose again, and then James Madison will be up there soon. I don't, like,
James Madison knows so much about it.
It's just tearing through
everyone. Just unbelievable. Just recalling scores. Just something I could never.
Where's Wyoming on your big board?
They were 24. I did see someone comment. They're like, "Where's Wyoming?" And I was like, "They are.
They're right there at 24th."
Yeah. They beat Fresno.
Yeah, they had an impressive win over Fresno State last night.
Do they now have the clear path to win the what conference? In the Mountain West.
The Mountain West.
The Cowboys. Yeah, I think they should.
Polisek.
They're undefeated, so they should have the path.
Turn that place around out there, huh?
He's the head coach out there?
No, he's the OC.
Oh shit, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, if nothing's changed the last 2 years, he's the OC there.
Which may be a sore subject because now we're getting back into the years where,
should I share the top 25? Should I pull it up?
Sure, share it. Sure. It's an inch. I this year's top 25 is really fun.
Right, here, Texas.
There's a lot of unbeaten teams yet.
Here's the reveal.
Texas did take
Texas
a
Texas took one in the nuts.
Yeah.
So you got Michigan over Georgia, huh?
I do. I think they deserve a
statement win last night.
You are an absolute Georgia non-believer.
They're number two.
They haven't lost like 23 games in a row or something.
They haven't lost since COVID was a thing.
I know, but they've had a couple limps and Michigan has not.
Yeah, Georgia has looked not Georgia until last night where they beat a good Kentucky team.
Beat the brakes off.
I was considering putting in like the 20th spot Michigan backups. Like after what they did to Minnesota last night. I was considering it.
The Michigan 2s at 23rd.
Speaking of Georgia and Kentucky, I see that Kentucky, after getting the brakes beaten off them by Georgia, that being their only loss, is no longer in
no
the
No longer on no. the list.
No. They'll be back in shortly, though.
But okay. All
right. I think right now, like, I think
Kansas over Kentucky, dude, is this basketball?
I think Kansas would beat Kentucky.
Look at Duke in there. I mean, this is a UNC.
I respect UCLA. The Tar Heels in the top 10. They're a good squad.
The who?
The Tar Heels.
Yeah, there's just like 9-1 is just all undefeated, really good teams right now.
Yeah.
So like I can't put the Tar Heels really any higher, but they're so good. Like, and honestly, like if the Broncos, like if we end up with the fourth pick in the draft, we take Drake May, I'm happy. I'm super pumped for that. So
was Maryland in your top 25 prior to this week, or did
they were 15th? Actually, they were really high, and now they're back too.
Ohio State decided to set them down a little bit, although the Terps played for a little bit.
Great first half.
The Terps fucked up a nice 4-leg parlay for me because they fucked up the end of the first half. I don't know if you guys saw. They're on like the 15-yard line. They have no timeouts left. And then they throw like a little 3-yard pass, gets tackled, time runs out. So it costs them at least 3 points. They lose by 20. The spread was 18, and that would have been a 4-legged parlay for me.
Well, speaking of your bets, what did Kevin do this weekend, Gary?
Oh, Kevin went 2-1.
Okay.
Which I'm sure he can.
I believe I gave you guys Rutgers plus 13, right?
Yes.
They ended up losing by 11. Should have been a closer game. They threw a pick six right before halftime on like the 5-yard line going in. So that was at least a 10-point swing.
Kentucky right was one of your picks. That's the one that lost.
Kentucky, yeah, that was a bad pick. And then I had Michigan, and they beat the brakes off of Minnesota.
A game that PJ Fleck described as the best team he's coached against since he showed up in Minneapolis.
Michigan's good, man. They have not played the best schedule yet.
Correct.
Arguably, they've played like the weakest schedule in the Big Ten so far.
What about us? Oh, we played Penn State.
Penn State at least. But to their credit, they've not looked. I mean, I've seen no flaws in the way Michigan's playing football right now.
They're pretty good.
Michigan might be. Pull up, hey Grant. Pull up the current national championship odds.
Okay. What was your last pick there that hit as well, Kev?
Rutgers covered. They're plus 13.
Oh, Rutgers, Michigan. And okay. So then real quick, just to cap that, it's a 2-1 week for the boys. My picks this week were Nebraska plus 3. I said on the podcast that I thought that they had a good chance of winning that game outright in Champaign. They did that. They pretty much handled the Illini. Illinois looking absolutely horrible this year.
I had them in my 4-leg team. Yeah,
it's interesting. So Nebraska, I took plus 3. If you're a betting man, you should have taken the money line. Iowa covers the minus 2.5. And now I got burned because I took the Iowa over and it went under. And so Who knows if that'll ever happen again? But I went 2 for 3, and that's a 66.
What?
What?
What'd you go?
2-1. Sorry. So that's a 6-3 weekend for us on the on the pod, and that'll make you money.
Like everyone being over 500 right now amazes me. Like that's pretty good.
And I didn't get my judgment.
Still waiting on the appeal process.
Yeah, what is going on this thing, Gary?
Well, they have it's a lot of things happening on the walk.
My appeal has to go through. Dana White said himself, he's the president.
What is that? What do you want to be? What do you want your record to be?
I'm 4-4, dude.
He wants
that's a robbery.
We'll make it 4-4.
Okay. Just like Valentina Shevchenko deserves to have a belt mailed directly to her doorstep. I'm 4-4.
All right. Drake's 4-4 entering week 7 this week. On the
3rd. I have an update on the championship odds, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. They are second. It is Georgia at +250 is number one. Michigan is at +350. And then it is a massive jump after that.
I mean, I'd be honest, I'd be very comfortable just betting on those two teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're by far and away the two best teams in the country.
And then
right now, yes.
Assuming you have a really high equity in at least 100 and +150.
I still at right. Alabama. Because
if you bet 1-1, yeah. Go ahead, G-Bone.
Well, I was saying, Alabama right now is 20-1 still. And I think they basically won the SEC West.
That might be good money.
Because I don't really know who's going to take it now from them. If they get there to the SEC championship, I don't think it's totally out of the question that they can win it and go to the playoff.
It's not. I don't see them beating Georgia though. I just don't see it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is 20-1 for a reason.
I mean, I can also see them losing to Tennessee too. But I mean, Tennessee's had their issues.
They get Tennessee at home though this year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Tennessee did like they've not been great on the road.
Yeah, honestly, Bama also has to go to Kentucky, which won't be an easy game for them.
Right.
Yeah.
All of this fun.
Bama's always fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be putting money on Bama right now.
Yeah. Fun betting talk brought to you by Betfred Sports. Download the Betfred Iowa app today. Bet along with us. We put our picks out each week. If you're new here, if you're not, jump on the train. The boys are all above 500. Like Grant just said, you might be able to win a little cash. Shout out to Betfred. Real quick, before we get into the passing recap, we go back to the Hawkeye game this month, October. 100%, not 50, 100% of the proceeds of everything we do, that's merch sales and Patreon signups, renewals, upgrades, all go to the Children's Hospital. 50% normally throughout the year. October is our month where we make that 100% of the pot. So sign up now for the Patreon. You go from 2 podcasts a week to 4. You suddenly now get the Dickhead Tuesday with me, Gary, and Drake. You get the Drake and Gary Friday, which is a fun little...
It's a fun podcast.
New addition to the...
You tried it out yet?
To the brand. I did listen to one episode.
Oh, there we go.
On 2x speed.
Is that good? Or is it like you're trying to get it over as fast as possible?
No, it's the fact that I'm addicted to podcasts and I can't listen to anything on less than 2x speed now. And a whole bunch of other stuff, merchandise, discounts, our biggest run of the year, the Christmas edition, the holiday edition is coming up. And if you're on the Patreon already or you sign up this week, be on the lookout because those G-Bone t-shirts are dropping hot and fresh very, very soon. So shout out to everybody who's supporting us on the Patreon.
You know what's wild to me is that you listen to podcasts now at 2x speed so that you can gain as much information as possible. And you used to just fuck the information off that was trying to be fed to you in college for 5 years.
It's a kid's an astute observation. Well, here's the deal, right? So I get to curate and choose the content I'm listening to.
You got to choose your degree.
I had to fucking check boxes of basic acting and foreign policy. I didn't give a fuck about any of that.
I didn't sit those classes with you. The ones I sat in with you were the ones that were physio based, and you didn't pay attention to a damn thing.
There's a mischaracterization here.
No, there's not. You come to my defense right now.
We didn't go into a whole lot of human anatomy classes there, Clue.
So no, you're absolutely correct on that. And I guess if you're just strictly talking about me choosing to consume the information while it was presented initially, there have been people with better attendance records. Right? There have been. Okay. However, in the classes that were physio-based, in the exercise science track, I actually did. My results were not bad. I was a B student and got A's in several of those classes. It was the other classes, the other half of the 120 credits in college, of which I was really fucking off in. I mean, that foreign policy class, boys, I went to the first day, and then I showed up for the midterm and the final. And I didn't look at a whole lot of the material in between either. I don't know how we got out of there alive, but we did. Shout out to that girl sitting next to me.
God damn it, Clue.
You want a Muscatine update?
A Muscatine update, sure.
Just got a video from good buddy Griffin of his next door neighbor having a very large SWAT team coming in with militarized vehicles kicking down their door.
Jesus Christ. Is it a drug raid?
It has to be.
They don't do that for
a big one because it was a squad.
Man, I was actually back in Marshalltown. So after the wedding, we went back to the M town, and then we stayed the night at the in-laws and came home this morning. It's weird to drive around the hometown, man. It's weird.
Do you guys remember when there was like a police standoff like 500 yards away from our house back in college?
It wasn't even 500 yards. It was across the street, Kev.
300 yards? Yeah, maybe. Maybe not even that much, yeah.
And you know what was really disappointing was the ending of that. Like nothing ever came of it, I don't think.
We just saw one guy walk out of the house and surrender, but I'm pretty sure there's another guy and we had to leave.
Oh. So
I don't think anybody got...
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't looking for gunshots and shit to pop off. I was really hoping.
Here's a story I probably never told y'all that I just thought of. When I was a kid, there was an active shooter in the high school while I was at swim practice, and nobody knew about it. He went across the street. I guess he wasn't actively shooting in the high school. He went across the street to the elementary school, broke into there, and then... there was people in the elementary school, I think teachers and stuff. And then the police got called and we got like filed out of swim practice in the winter, cold as hell. We're all wet. And we had to leave the high school, and the whole Mulberry Street block was just militarized zone.
We false alarm on this, but no one knew until they knew. We had an in-place shelter lockdown or whatever at the high school one time. I was not there for some reason, but my dad was. My dad taught PE there. They locked the high school down because they thought they got a report of a guy walking into the school with a gun. And it turned out that it was a Bible. So not a gun, right? It was the weapon of Jesus Christ. But
powerful weapon.
Powerful. Very. But yeah, they locked the school down, Marshalltown High School, for like 2 or 3 hours one day. It's like, what are we doing? And somebody walking into Marshalltown High School with a gun, you pull the teachers and the students in that place. They're all probably like, yeah, could happen. Yeah, definitely could happen. Providence Catholic, probably. Kevin has no idea.
He didn't come from Homer Glen.
He's never heard of stuff like this.
There was once an unruly parent who was like probably drunk.
unruly parent.
Drunk or on drugs or something like that, who actually like had to get punched in the face by one of the deans. That was about as crazy as it
was
my time there.
The dean had a mean right hook?
Dean was the wrestling coach.
Love that.
Yeah. Checks out.
Love that. Anything happen like that at wherever the hell you and Christian McCaffrey went to high school?
Did anything happen? No.
Okay. Sounds about right.
Actually, no. We had a – so my senior year, they put up like a fence around the high school because at a like come check out the high school like prospective parents day, a random like homeless man came and punched like the strength coach of the football team just randomly.
Wrong guy to punch probably.
Yeah. Just square in the teeth. Just socked him.
That's right. Nice.
Ran away. But no, nothing crazy ever.
Hmm. All right. Well, that's a good little segue in the middle of the podcast there. Hopefully everybody enjoyed our stories.
Not going to enjoy this story. So the Iowa passing game.
So Deacon Hill's shoulder also threw some punches missed. They missed a lot. Boys, I this is nothing against Deacon. Guy seems like a good dude, like a cheery guy. Excited to take on the opportunity as the next Iowa quarterback. Unfortunate situation, but hey, he's willing and ready to step into the role. But I don't think I've seen a guy miss throws as bad as some of those passes on Saturday in a long, long time. I mean, those balls were ending up 10 yards away from the intended receiver.
Yeah. Everything was just grotesquely overthrown.
And most of it was – a lot of them were overthrows.
Yeah, not great. I was really surprised because I thought he looked serviceable last week when he got thrown in versus Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Just wasn't there versus Purdue.
You think he was just hyped up or what?
He's definitely maybe hyped up.
Everything was going like way high. Like definitely wasn't underthrowing anything. Everything was over everybody's heads or just overthrown. Some were just completely off target to no one.
So I think then, early on, go ahead, Kev.
Two of his three best balls, he actually throws nice balls and they get dropped. One turns into an interception, bounces right off a guy's face.
That would hurt.
Yeah, that's like when you have a quarterback that's struggling, when he throws a good ball on a good route, you got to make the play, right?
That one was to Seth Anderson, right? Went through his hands and hit him right in the face mask.
Hit him right in the face mask, bounces brutal. Up, interception.
Fuck, dude. Wow. I watched that when they replayed it, and I was like, God damn it. Exactly what Kevin's saying. You cannot drop balls when we're struggling to throw and we actually get one that's catchable.
Yeah, that would have been like a nice 15-yard play. Eric All dropped a 15-plus yard sail route. Nico Reggini dropped a good pass.
Eric All has been playing better, though. Last two games, shout out.
He also had one fantastic snag.
Huge snag down the field. He went up and got it, came down hard. He also had the touchdown that was thrown. So Eric was big yesterday.
That touchdown was a great play call by Brian, though.
No, Kevin. No.
Dude, how come Brian didn't give me one single opportunity like that?
You do not run like Eric All.
Bro, I played receiver in high school, and I run good, especially in a straight line.
You don't run like Eric All.
I run plenty good in a straight line.
You definitely don't need more.
That wasn't running a straight line, my friend.
And bro, it was a wheel route out of the backfield that he barely had to wheel on. If you don't think I could do that, go check the tape. It's on there. It just happened in practice.
You got heavy feet, man.
You don't know until you try it. Feet.
Back 245, Drake had heavy feet.
I'll be honest, Drake.
Heavy, but they ran plenty good. I won't stand for this.
Slander.
I ran plenty good.
No, great play call on third and two there coming out of the heavy set. I see it happening in slow motion. I'm like, that's a touchdown. That's a touchdown. Just don't overthrow it. Throws a good ball. Key play for the
needed
touchdown
it bad.
But overall, the passing game was atrocious. Outside of the academies, Army, Navy, Air Force, how many teams win football games with six or less completions?
Dude, we didn't complete. I saw this stat too, Kev. We didn't complete a ball to a receiver.
I swear I saw Reggini catch a ball.
No,
I swear.
You did not. You saw him get targeted two or three times. He dropped one, And I think the other two were just egregiously off target balls.
Did it have to be like a completion for positive yards? Or
I don't.
I swear I saw him catch one.
I'll look up the box score right now.
I'm looking it up right now.
They missed something.
Iowa receiving. Eric All, 5 receptions. Caleb Johnson, 1.
So it's the first time.
Oh, wait. No, because it's not a receiver. Okay.
In the KF era. In KF's tenure. So this is even a KF record here, where we've won a ball game with 0 receptions from a wide receiver.
I like it. He's just reinventing the game. He's introducing new ways to win.
I agree. But also,
oh, fuck me, guys.
Let me talk. Hey, KF, if you happen to be listening,
which you're not.
Hey, man.
Hey. He's just making it a challenge. He on Tuesday at practice, he was like, hey, you know what no one's ever tried before?
But you know who may actually be listening to this and I want to give a huge shout out to?
Cade Hennigan, one of the managers who went off last year in the toolbox game, which is coming up this week, baby.
Oh, I was going to say Mrs. Mary Ferentz because she talked to me about the podcast at a wedding, and really? She says she enjoys it. So,
what?
Mrs. Ferentz?
Well, Mary.
We love you.
Yeah, we do. That's wild.
I don't think she listens on a regular basis.
No. But listening to a 1 minute is listening.
Does that count as part of the listens for our viewership stats, Clue?
I think they have to get to an ad, don't they?
Or is it- no, I. It's a little bit more complicated than that. We won't go into that. I know this. Back to the passing thing. Deacon had a QBR.
No, don't even say it.
Two. I was going to let him guess.
2.0. That bitch goes up to like 140 or something.
158.3.
158. Deacon had a 2. It was at one time he was like 1 of 11. Finished 6 of 21, which is 30%.
Y'all are going to remember the throw I'm talking about. I can't remember if it was a deep over or if it was a corner. But he was throwing to his left, and he was late on it, and he threw it up the field. The receiver was toward the boundary, and it was an open receiver, and he missed him by like 15 yards. And at that point, it was that exact throw where I was like, we're genuinely in trouble, because his confidence was shot. Like he didn't just turn his shoulders and rip it at the receiver with it. He's got a cannon.
I don't know if it's his confidence though, Drake.
Dude, that throw had no confidence in it. I'm telling you.
Maybe that one, but I mean, generally the kid's ripping it with a lot. Yeah,
when he rips it 75 down the field on the opening play.
Oh, how hard were you guys when they opened with that sumbitch?
I was hoping it was going to work.
Can you imagine?
It's what we asked for. Didn't we say on Wednesday, just like first play, just see how far you can throw it?
And they did it. They had him throw it from the 25 to the goal line. It was like
when they I'm not sure what his read progression was there, but that is not where the ball should have went on that particular play.
His read progression was in the Friday night meeting when Brian shows the script. He saw the opening play and said, "We're going deep."
it was a test. They just wanted to show Purdue his arm strength.
What do you think?
Show him what he's capable of.
So, you two, what do you think Deacon's Friday night snack looks like?
It's gotta be legendary.
Is it at least a triple burger?
Brady Ross did at least 2 doubles. Deacon's not eating like Brady Ross, I'm disappointed.
And Deacon's
skid loader's gotta be in top form. You gotta fuel that body.
Deke's putting a lot of caramel on his ice cream cup too.
Do they give you Culver's on Friday?
It's not Culver's. It's not
Culver's, but damn is it good, dude. The Kirkwood burger. So G-Bone.
So you can get yourself there's like a make it yourself station for like burgers or a chicken sandwich, and then there's cookies and ice cream from the hotel.
And it's your last meeting of the week, dude.
Like this is at the facility.
This is at the hotel.
Okay.
The head coach gives his nighttime meeting. You have snack and bed, and you go in there and you can have as many hamburgers as you want, and you can take ice cream to bed. It's the greatest thing of all time.
It literally is like it's the best possible thing for a football player. And for those wondering, they just ate dinner 3 hours before this. Not even.
And that dinner was substantial.
Bang. Among the offensive linemen who were there that weren't starters, there was, I don't know if they still do this, but there was a common occurrence to see if anyone could break the record for double cheeseburgers eaten. I think it was like seven.
They pass around for like he's the burger champion this week.
Then they didn't test Brady Ross because he could have broke that. I know he could have. I've never seen a man put down hamburgers like that.
That's seven double cheeseburgers, buddy.
These are big burgers, man.
B. Ross, if you're listening, please chime in on this. I believe in you, dude. You can.
And like Kluver just said, man, this is 2.5 hours post dinner. Big ass dinner.
Our bodies are used to metabolizing all that.
I'm telling you, man, for a college athlete, for a man, there's no better thing than you walking into a unlimited burger and chicken sandwich bar with unlimited ice cream afterwards. It doesn't get better than that.
No.
It also warmed my heart when KF would scoop a little ice cream himself.
Oh, KF loved to get himself a little
ice cream. Get himself a cookie.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, man, it's a stressful life during the season. You got a lot going on. It's 95% of your time is pretty stressful. You got to enjoy the small little victories. And that's after a win on a Saturday, just take the rest of the day, relax. And that's ice cream on Friday night, man.
Smoking a Coke, right,
Coke? Smoking a Coke. That's right.
Fucking A.
Shout out Coach Parker.
So the passing game was bad. It was bad.
Yeah, man. And
Purdue's defense isn't by any means good.
Can I share a stat?
Go for it,
please. So we got up 10-0,
mm-hmm.
but our stats were 1 of 9 completions with an interception.
That's two completions. Maybe. That's a bad stat.
That's two completions. Oh, totally unrelated. Every once in a while, I'll see this. It deals with football stats. I saw this the other day. Blew my fucking mind. It said the tweet was simply, it was a prompt. What's the wildest football stat?
Oh, we could go on. This could be another hour of just quote tweets of that tweet.
Jim Harbaugh finished with more rushing yards in his NFL career than Bo Jackson.
No.
It's 100%. Yeah, I mean, well, Jim Harbaugh didn't rip his hip out of his side.
I understand that, but without knowing exactly how many games Bo Jackson, I, for one, did not know how few games Bo Jackson played. Like He only played like 36 games.
Wow, those were an electric 36 games.
And he ran for like 2,862 yards or something like that. And Harbaugh, over the course of like a 10-year career or maybe more, ran for like 2,870 yards, like 8 more yards than Bo Jackson did.
Wow.
And I was like, holy shit, that is unbelievable.
Wow. Dan Marino has 80 rushing yards in his career.
That's it?
He played 242 games.
That's incredible.
So you're telling me he averaged
0.3
rushing?
Probably. I don't have a calculator out. Do
that's what it 12 is a game. Yeah. That's one QB sneak a game.
Subway sandwich.
Speaking of QB sneaks, okay. My one gripe.
The ass push? The butt plug?
3rd and 1, our last offensive drive. Oh, man. I love you, Brian. I think you actually called some good play calls on Saturday.
Impossible. Oh, no.
Rest in peace.
There he is.
Whoa. Did we jump out of there?
Yeah, you said you thought he actually called some good play calls on Saturday.
There were some good plays out there. We left a lot out there execution-wise, but the 3rd and 1 play call, the slow-developing run play on 3rd and 1, we get the first down and the game's over. Hated it.
Wouldn't you love to ask him, like, hey, what is the thought process here? Like, take me through the because he's thinking about the previous 10 plays that they've ran. He's trying to set stuff up for the next 10 plays that they're going to run. It would be fun, and you couldn't do it because they're in the middle of calling a game, but maybe work back through an entire game with a coach sometime and be like, okay, what was the thought process here? Okay, now why this? Now why this? It would be
I would absolutely love to know what everyone's thinking. I would love to know what KF thinks during games.
I would love to just fall around Kirk just during the game. I don't need to talk to him. I just want to shadow him.
Oh, there's fucking Drake. He's trying to kill Ron Colluzzi. Son of a bitch. Oh, shit.
He was I've not seen him and Phil were going crazy at the ref early in the first quarter.
Yeah.
I think it was like they wanted holding a couple times, but I haven't seen Kirk go that crazy in a while.
He can get fiery.
Yeah, Kirk can get fired up sometimes. Do you remember when he called the timeout just to yell at the refs?
Yep.
Fucking iconic.
Do you remember when he yelled at us at halftime of the Rutgers game?
At Rutgers?
Yeah. Only time KF ever bitched us out. He was fucking pissed.
Yeah, yeah. The offense.
I remember the Rutgers game, but I don't even.
He came in and basically called us all a bunch of pussies.
Yeah, oh, I do remember this now. Yeah.
Lacking execution. You guys aren't fucking giving an everything. It's the first time I was like, okay, I'm sorry.
Defense is just chilling over there because I think we had not given up any points yet.
Correct. That's probably why you don't remember, Kev.
It reminds me of like whenever we have the offense is a bad day of practice and KF calls it up at the end and talks about how bad of a practice we had. Defense just looking around like,
it seems like a good practice.
We did all right. But no, you do know, like
Dick, Kevin.
Yeah, KF gets fired up every now and then. Phil got heated
today or this weekend.
Jamari Harris,
when he let him go behind him,
when he almost gave up a 3rd and 35 play. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That ball, a perfect football. That's a touchdown. Should have been caught for a first down. But yeah, Phil was absolutely heated with Jamari on that one. That was a really tough look on him.
Stadium went dead quiet for like 3 seconds after that play. So, I mean,
yeah, a couple really sloppy things on defense, actually. Managed to get out of there with only letting up 14 points. Let them throw the ball a little bit more than we would have liked, but a couple sloppy plays that need to get kind of cleaned up there.
Yeah, but we have Cooper DeJean, and it feels like everything's okay.
He's good, huh?
He's so good, dude. He's so good.
Yeah, it's good when they throw the ball to him.
Yeah, why are they testing him 3 plays in a row? I mean, what are they doing? I understand that they had their stud on him as well, and you're going to throw to your stud, but like, hey, you test fire enough, you're going to get burnt, right?
To be fair, that was a horrible throw.
It wasn't a good throw.
They threw it right to him.
But also, he came off his receiver. He read it perfect.
Yeah.
He's doing what he's supposed to do. No doubt.
Positive of the day, boys. Something we haven't seen all year. We got a fucking rush.
I would say 4 out of the 6 sacks were coverage sacks.
But at least we got there.
I would say we struggled more than we had success.
Really?
Yeah.
Seemed like we got a lot more D-line pressure this game, but maybe I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh man. At times, but felt like we weren't just rushing 4, the front 4 were not getting a whole lot.
There was still some times where I'm like, come on, get there. But they never did. I understand. But I guess maybe the actual set. I think we doubled our sacks on the year. We went from like 3 to 6.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of tackles for loss. Again, Kevin, you're probably right with some of the coverage sacks there, the coverage tackles for loss.
I mean, we peppered their quarterback pretty good. He's not feeling too good.
Oh, he feels like shit. Do we have a collision of the game? Any specific ones that come to mind? Just every time Jay Higgins finds the ball. Guys,
he had a pick too.
He did have a pick.
Yeah. Yeah, that pick should have sealed the game, but, you know.
Didn't.
Whatever. No, nothing. No specific hits come to mind. Kluver, I want to know what you watched on TV. Did you see the blocked field goal? Because you can't see what happened from the stands.
I did. Yeah.
Was that on the kicker or on the protection?
It's on the kicker.
Just coming up too low?
Yeah. So it was a windy day a little bit, right, Kev?
Not terribly, no.
Was it not?
No, not really. No.
It looked like kicking one way. It really was on TV.
Maybe down on the field, they had the wind swirling down there, but it really wasn't that windy out.
It does always swirl. Let me see if I can go and find where this kick got blocked on here. Missed.
And then the other one, did he just straight up shank it or what?
The wind took that one like a motherfucker.
Because they showed the flags on top of Kinnick, and they were straight out.
The last field goal, the second field goal that he missed, I've never seen wind blow like that. What just happened, Grant?
I have breaking news.
What's that?
George Kittle has found the end zone.
Oh, Sunday let's night. Go.
We love that.
Here we go, Jorge.
Drew Stevens, 40. So, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. So Drew's back 50 yards on the block field goal, right? So when you're 50 deep or longer, and granted, he came on this podcast this summer, said he put on weight, said he's put on a lot of distance to his leg, and that has showed significantly. He kicks touchbacks regularly, hardly lets the other teams bring it out. And on the field goals that he's had this year that don't get blocked, they are going through easily. He has the leg for everything. But at 50, it's not a chip shot, right? You're really poking that thing through there. And occasionally when you do so, you're going to hit just ever so slightly a little bit higher on the ball. Trajectory angle, don't say that word well, trajectory angle comes out a little lower, right? And you're playing physics, and those guys get their hands up at the exact right time. A lower ball. It happened a couple times with Marshall, too. Marshall would punch it sometimes and, you know, just kicked it too low. And they did get a great push on it, but it's not like they split a gap or got deep into the pocket. It was like they just got their hands up and it was a low kick. So I actually don't know from watching thousands of reps on film, contrary to the belief of maybe the two on this podcast or any other of my teammates from my time at Iowa, I did watch a lot of film kicking wise, and I don't know if that was going to go in anyway. That thing was headed left in a hurry. So we'll never know, but I got blocked
backing up 5 yards from a delay of game affected it a whole lot.
Doesn't help.
Obviously doesn't help.
Doesn't help.
By the way, what did you think of the Purdue kicker convincing the refs that the ball was falling over?
I didn't see that until today, and I was like,
one of the all-time bamboozlements, dude.
He's got to be. If he's not, he's got to be a lawyer of some sort. Somewhere.
No, if that guy has like a girlfriend or fiance or whatever, like I guarantee you, he gaslights the shit out of
him. He is the best.
That they showed that replay several times, and the fans were livid with the refs for calling that one because that ball was a freaking statue, man. It wasn't moving at all.
Another special teams play of note too is Elkins trying to drive them bitches into that block punt or that block ball.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing:
A for effort there, Luca.
I was told in my time because I asked if I could do this. Like I asked somebody, Coach Woods or Coach, and they said to not do that. I was told to not do that because at the time they would call a penalty of like offensive holding or
unnecessary. I don't think you're supposed to do that.
They would call unnecessary roughness or something. Mm-hmm. So I never did it.
Look damn smart when they don't throw the flag, though.
For sure. He was trying his best. Imagine he gets that guy to kick it. He picks it up and takes it in or something like that.
I don't think you can advance.
You probably can't advance that. Yeah, it's a dead ball. But
ask for forgiveness. Pick it up and punt it in the stands. I'm the man.
So any collective thoughts here? The Hawks are 5-1.
We are 5-1. Yeah,
people forget.
And yeah,
people want to talk about it.
We are 5-1, and we have the biggest game of the year coming up.
Big Ten West Championship?
Big potential Big Ten West Championship. Maybe we just keep finding ways to win this year. But
10-point dog this week. We'll talk about it, obviously.
Yeah, man. God, they just do not get better week to week. This is just what we're going to have for the remaining 6 weeks, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, after the – like, these are how the games are going to go, man. Like, if we win this Wisconsin game, it's going to be by 3 points after we recover a fumble deep in
– We're going to have 230 yards of offense, if that.
And it's going to be 9-6.
Yeah, probably all three field goals off of turnovers inside the opposing 30.
Torrey Taylor's going to have 500 yards of punt. And
oh, he just passed career milestone. I think it was like 7,000 yards of punting or something like that, or something crazy.
I think it was 11,000 yards.
11,000 yards of punting.
Something like that.
That's so much punting.
He's a good punter. He's a very good punter. We use him way too much.
You're saying we should go for it on fourth down more?
No.
No.
Or we shouldn't be at fourth down more.
A few less fourth downs out there.
I feel that vibe, Kevin.
Fuck, man. If we could catch a ball, you know. Yeah, you're right. This Wisconsin game, we're two score dogs. I don't think anybody's expecting us to win this game, which maybe plays in our favor.
Where we want them.
Wisconsin still is not looking great, right? They got a win over a solid Rutgers team, but like I said, that game should have been a lot closer than it actually was.
Is this Wisconsin team of 2023, could they beat any of the 2013 through 17 Wisconsin teams? I don't think
absolutely
so.
Absolutely fucking not.
Not a chance.
God, no.
So,
Those teams were really good, dude.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, I think even though this is Wisconsin, it's not Wisconsin, right? Like
against some really good defenses up there in Madison, man.
Some decent
freaking dudes in that up in Madison up there.
That offensive line that they rolled into town with every year, golly,
bro! They went from Monty Ball, James White, Melvin Gordon,
Jonathan Taylor.
Monty activated Ball. Today, by the way. It didn't do much, but.
And then now they got Braylon Allen, but then they always had a dude and a massive offensive line that was actually good, and like their defense was always just stellar.
They're not the same team anymore. That's not
who they are anymore.
Best looking team in the Big Ten West, but it ain't in much.
Yeah, and they've gotten better throughout the year. They look pretty rocky the first couple weeks. And I'm sure Luke Fickle will have them humming by some point, but they're not in midseason form up to his standards, I'd imagine.
They're in a transitionary period right now.
Right, exactly.
Kirk's got to have a good record against like first year in the Big Ten coaches.
It'd be interesting to know that, actually.
He's got to have a pretty decent record.
There's a lot of them, too, going back 25 years.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just inventing a stat.
We will talk more about Wisconsin on Thursday. Let's finish with this because I cut Drake off when he mentioned it. Miami?
Oh, Mario.
Dude? Is that the collision of the week? His fucking job running into the wall?
Yeah.
Shout out to Premier Automotive. If you hit a deer, call Premier. And if you're Miami, fucking kneel the ball down?
Did anyone catch – I want to look this up, actually, as soon as we hang this up. Is I want to know what the press was asking him as question-wise as far as after the game, right?
I would love to see that press conference.
Because I don't care how long that press conference goes. Every single question would be like, hey, why didn't you knee the ball and just win the game?
He was turning into like a Madden game between friends.
Did you see the player with the long, greasy hair on the sideline go, what the fuck are we doing? Like what he mouthed twice.
Drake, if you're in the offensive huddle, does anyone have enough balls to defy the coach and just knee the ball?
I would hope the quarterback would. I would genuinely hope.
If you're the quarterback, are you doing that? And Brian says we're running this inside zone play. Are you just going to be like, yeah, sure, coach, and then just knee the ball?
With zero question. And then I would have taken the ball and handed it to him and said, good game, coach, we won. And then – go to the locker room and celebrate winning like they should have.
That's unbelievable.
I cannot believe the starting quarterback called anything but Neil. I literally can't believe it.
He's a smart dude, too. Like, Van Dyke's not the worst quarterback in the world.
Well, actually, that makes me remember we did have a quarterback call his own number one time. 2014 Purdue. I'm pretty sure CJ just called a naked boot on himself and just walked in the end zone. It was supposed to be outside zone, and he just pulled it.
Love that out of Siege.
Yeah,
it's funny you say that because I was just gonna say when you asked Drake if somebody in the huddle would have the balls to do it, I immediately thought CJ would call it. CJ would have been.
It was CJ versus Purdue. I'm not sure which year. It might have been 2014. I think Rudock was hurt that game, and CJ was playing. I want to see
dude, if they, I mean, they should be undefeated.
Yeah.
They're ranked, what, 20th or 17th or something like that, and they should still be undefeated at 6-0, and they just lost to Georgia Tech.
Yeah. No, that, I mean, they were down, too, for a long time. Like, they were lucky that Notre Dame was losing at the same time because everyone was distracted until made an absolute fool of themselves.
They had an impressive win over A&M early in the year, too.
Yeah.
I mean, no, like, they're not just kneel the football.
Just kneel the football. What are you doing?
Shit is crazy.
Mario made the Big Ten tier, by the way, this week, in case you're curious.
Oh, love that. Thank you guys for joining the Washed Up Walk-Ons. We'll be back. Like I said, if you join the Patreon, we'll be back tomorrow for DHT. More shows this week. Wisconsin Preview, Drake and Gary Friday. Have a fantastic week. Big weekend going to Camp Randall. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.